Hello everyone and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home in the Central Florida area to visit Walt Disney World, Universal Studios, SeaWorld, or any of the other attractions in Central Florida, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to try any of the DVC resorts for really, really good prices, staying at the Boardwalk, Old Key West, Poly, Grand Floridian, Saratoga Springs, any of the DVC resorts, contact David's at dvcbyrequest.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for anything in the Central Florida area, contact our friends at Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And last but not least, if you need to book a trip anywhere in the world, and especially Walt Disney World, contact me at American Tourist Travel, and we will help you out with all your travel needs. So that's it, guys. We're going to hop on the train and head on over to the pub.
Your attention, please. The Walt Disney World Railroad, now boarding for a scenic trip around the Magic Kingdom. Board!
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy John, driving through horrible, horrible storms, and we're hoping to get the show in. How you doing this morning, John?
Wet. Yeah. We had some kind of front coming through right now. It's just miserable, cloudy, rainy. It started last night and it's proceeding today.
Yeah, the crazy part is I seen that last night. There was people people showing the Animal Kingdom with all kind of bamboo poles fell. People were stuck on a Kilimanjaro Safari for a half hour, 40 minutes.
Yeah, they had a tree come down at Vacation Way over by Saratoga Springs that blocked the road. So, yeah, we had some bad weather come through.
Yeah, it was pretty crazy last night what I was watching. What I was reading on Twitter, I was like, yeah, that's pretty scary, being on Kilimanjaro Safari and locked on it. I mean, it would be cool, though, but it would also be a little scary if the wind kicked through like that.
Yeah, that the treehouses are the absolute worst. After that last hurricane we had come through, it took them like 3 or 4 weeks to get all that cleaned up. So, at least then I guess you'd be trapped in your house, but yeah, that makes it kind of impassable back there, so...
Yeah, they said cast members were out cleaning the bamboo off the trucks to get them out of it so they could drive away, because they actually fell on the roofs of the trucks.
Yeah, at least it was just bamboo, you know. So
then I seen it was, because it was weird, because yesterday before I read all that, I was watching Jen and Scott, our friends from the Happiest Vlogs on Earth. Me and Brenda were doing some trip prepping, you know, doing some chores around the house. And you know how when you're doing things in the house, I know you probably do too. If we're not watching TV, I like to throw Disney videos on constantly in the background and watch them as we're doing chores. You know what I'm saying, John? Kind of makes you a little happy while you're doing sad stuff.
You know, I understand what you're saying, but let's just say I get my fill of Disney, so I usually don't watch a whole lot of videos.
But you used to. Back in the day, you did, before you got this job, right?
Yeah, back in the day, yeah. But seeing as I'm getting 9 to 10 hours of Disney every day, I'm pretty good. So. But
we were watching that, and it showed the hurricane last year that went through in the fall of 19 before the COVID, but they were down there during the hurricane. Remember that came through down there?
Oh, yeah, I remember hurricanes.
Yeah, well, that the last one they were talking about, and it was weird how I was watching that. They were talking about the storms in the parks, and the next thing I know, I get on Twitter, and a storm went through the park. It was kind of like, what's going on here?
Is my prophecy.
Yes, it was weird. But I watched them, and my wife brought it up, because she's as bad as me now with seeing things. Know how they're with, because they just raised the prices again on the bags for the parks. Did you see that?
No.
Yeah, the bags now, they doubled the price if you want the bags now. They'll still give you plastic, so which is a good thing, but they doubled the price of the the bags now that you get from each park, which is cool. They're as long as they're giving you out the regular ones, I'm okay with that. But they doubled the price of them, and but they are good little souvenir bags if you wanted to buy something that cheap for everybody to give somebody a little taste of Disney. I guess those bags are better than having the plastic bags that have Walt Disney World on them, don't you think, John?
Yeah, if you take those back home, you can definitely use them for your grocery shopping and stuff for a couple of months. So there's nothing wrong with that.
But what cracked me and Brenda up was is we're watching the storm and all, and they're talking about recyclable plastics bad for the environment and all this other stuff. And they use like glad, you know, the plastic wrap, the Ziploc wrap. You know what I'm talking about? The wrap that you wrap up your food with, the clear wrap.
Yeah.
They actually used that when the storm was coming through. They're using Saran wrap to wrap up all the stands with this plastic. So they don't want to sell plastic, but they're using thousands of feet of it to wrap all the stands up so nothing blows away. I just thought it was like pretty funny to see that. I didn't know they wrapped up the stands with Saran wrap, did you?
Yeah, I've seen them several times. A lot of times if we know we're going to have several hours of rain, they'll wrap the stuff up. It's one of the easiest, most effective ways of waterproofing stuff. So.
Well, it's more of a hole because I know at the Home Depot, they use that where you can wrap the lumber together, believe it or not. When you get stacks of lumber before you put it up on your roof racks or in the back of the truck, you can wrap it all together with that. But I just thought it was pretty funny because they're talking about recycling and everything else like that, and I see this big, huge wrap of plastic wrap going around everything. It kind of took me off guard. So, but where are you at in the storms now? How bad are they now?
It just looks crappy right now. I'm going to be driving into it, and then I think we're going to have more later on today. It's supposed to clear up for a little bit, and then there's a whole other blob of it sitting out in the Gulf of Mexico that's going to make its way across.
Well, it kind of looks like the whole country. Like, I took a couple pictures this morning because all the flowers are blooming and all, but we had a... It was beautiful. The last 3 days it was in the 70s, and now like a little cold front's going through, and it rained here all night. It's nasty out. Thunderstorms going to be going through here. I think it's all through the Ohio Valley. This weather portion of the show is being brought to you by anyhow.
The Weather Channel.
Yes, but the whole center of the country is covered in it. It went from beautiful. We had absolutely gorgeous day here yesterday. 71 degrees, John. We went out and
71, huh?
Yeah. We went out and did some shopping at the outlet stores outside. It was a beautiful day.
Yeah, it was like 86, 87 and sunny, and I went on my break down in the Utilidors, and I'm thinking to myself, Lisa told me it was going to rain today. She's full of crap. I go down in the Utilidors, come back up an hour later, it's storming, windy. I'm like, okay, she knew what she was talking about. Never mind.
Yeah. What's it like driving those buses in a windstorm, John?
I've driven a truck my entire life, so it's the same as it is. I mean, you can feel the wind hit it a little bit but there's not a whole lot of high areas around Walt Disney World property, so you generally don't get the full effect. I mean, I've driven my trucks across the Skyway Bridge on a windy day, and that'll scare the bejesus out of you, so, you know.
Dude, we not doing that, but I've hauled you know, stuff like my van, my box van going across the Walt Whitman Bridge in wind storms and the way to Delaware River there. So I can only imagine in a truck. And we used to go with my dad's driving the motorhome, and then also travel trailers are the absolute worst when because they're so light, John.
Yeah, they're very light to begin with. So, yep.
Yeah, so I feel your pain. The good thing about a bus is the skirt of the bus is really low, so it does have to – it takes a lot to get underneath the bus compared to a truck trailer.
Yeah. They're very low clearance on them, so.
They're kind of like that little stubby guy that used to be friends with, the short, stout guy that you can't push him around because he's so – the center of gravity is really good on a bus. It isn't as bad as what the truck is, but they are like a human a big sail. The bus.
Yeah, well, it's a big wind block, that's for sure. So,
but anyhow, how was the crowds the last couple of days?
They appear to be pairing off a little bit. I know we were still using charter buses last night. I did the Magic Kingdom yesterday. I traded for a slightly earlier shift in the day, so I ended up. Oh, here's what I did yesterday. I was the van driver for the Magic Kingdom, which means I basically just shuttle people from Magic Kingdom to the Utilidors to pick up their buses to drive the West Clock Shuttle bus. So all I was doing is driving a couple of drivers back and forth all day. Not an exactly critical day there, but yeah, they're still using the charter buses and everything for the bigger resorts. So it's they're still getting some decent sized crowds, and just looking at the crowds waiting for the bus last night at Pop Century and Coronado Springs and stuff, I can tell they're still really busy. So,
well, Bob, I'm excited. We're like 3 weeks away right now, John. 3 weeks from today, I'll be hopping on my plane.
There you go. Yeah. Zoom, zoom, zoom.
Yeah, 2:45. And I'm looking at a picture of the land right now with my balloons that are made out of chocolate, John.
Yeah, there you go. You go on believing that.
Yes, I'm going to believe that till the day I'm no longer able to believe it, John. So that's one of the things my baby got me with that was a fun one, but I'll never forget it.
Maybe they'll take him down one day. I'll find one at Cast Connection and be able to buy it for you and prove to you that there's no chocolate inside.
Yeah, I wouldn't let you open it up. I'd be sitting in my front yard somewhere. Yeah. But speaking of things being changed again, John, are you, because I don't want that to change at all, but what did change is, you hear about Mouse Gears changing names?
No, I haven't.
Yeah, it's no longer going to be called Mouse Gears, and that makes me very, very, very sad. The new place, and be honest with just me, John, does this sound like a great name? It's going to be called the Creation Shop. The Creation Shop, replacing Mouse Gears.
That sounds more like a shop that would be at the Imagination Pavilion. So, but
yeah, I just... Well, they couldn't just keep our Mouse Gears, John. It's Disney has today announced that the new flagship merchandise location at Epcot will be called Creations Shop and replace the former Mouse Gears. Like, it don't even roll off the tongue like Mouse Gears does, right?
Yeah, I imagine they rethemed the entire store so they got rid of all that big time work machinery that was up top, which if they get rid of that, I guess Mouse Gear doesn't make a whole lot of sense anymore. So that's my thought, I guess. So.
No, it's just very sad. It's like it would be like it would be like the Main Street Emporium being taken away. Just change the name to the Main Street Let's Make It Shop, or I don't know. I mean, it's the Main Street Emporium to me. Yeah, well, change it from World of Disney to, I don't know, something else. It's just there are certain things I'd like to keep them the same. I mean, it's sad that Mouse Gears is going away. I don't know. You're not sad at all?
It doesn't really bother me. Yeah. Doug, I don't sweat the small stuff like that.
But yeah. Well, dude, we shouldn't do this show if we don't sweat anything. It's all great. Yay. But it's like, I remember Mouse Gears forever. I was hoping I'd still get to keep the name. Now it's gone. I mean, I don't know what Creation Shop doesn't, but it doesn't go off the tip of my tongue like Mouse Gears does. They dropped the ball with the name. It ain't very inventive to me. It ain't very catchy to me. But anyhow, it's saying that it's going to be no longer called Mouse Gears. So Illumination's gone, Mouse Gears gone. Why don't they just change the name of Epcot to something else? What can we change the name of Epcot?
We'll call it Doug's Crying Emporium. How about that?
Yeah, we'll call it, we don't care what the name is anymore of anything. Oh my goodness. Now all of a sudden my mouse on my IMAX decided to stop working out of protest for Mouse Gears.
Yeah, see how prophetic that was?
Yeah. I don't know what's going on here, John. My total mouse just decided it don't want to work no more. And I don't know why. But anywho, I don't believe you're not upset about it. But yeah, they said it's going away. According to Imagineer Zach Ridley, Creation Shop features a bold, sleek design that creates a perfect showcase for a rich variety of items you will find as part of your Epcot experience. It will be an open, bright, welcoming environment with huge glass walls to allow sunlight to pour in and make you feel like you're in touch with nature even while indoors. So Creation Shop makes me feel like I'm outside.
Yeah, I'd be more upset with the giant glass walls in Central Florida than I would be with the name change. I mean, if you've ever done the walk at the Coca-Cola shop to get up to the top floor, you've walk down that or up that ramp with the sun pouring in the middle of the afternoon, it makes it rather miserable. So I don't know if you really need to make giant glass windows and doors in Central Florida. Summertime is not a pleasant time. So.
Well, it's going to be wide open, it's saying. It will be open, bright, welcoming environment. We are using...
And hot.
Using color materials and light in new ways with some unique Epcot touches that connect back to the park's storied past while looking to the future. If you want to look back to the storied past, call it Mouse Gears. The store will include a Mickey Mouse mural. So we're no longer going to call it Mouse Gears, but we're going to have a Mickey Mouse mural. Was there a Mickey Mouse mural in there before, John?
I don't think so.
Okay. She's calling me crazy. Along the sidewall, in homage to him, throughout the interior, large dynamic murals will showcase the global contemporary icon that Mickey has become for generations around the world. I don't know. Construction on Creation Stop is still very much underway, as we can see from the recent photos of the area. Creation Shop will be located in the former Mouse Gears building, which is in the New World Celebration area, replacing the original Future World. I don't know. I just think it's stupid to change the name. What's next?
I don't think the Mouse Gear was the original shop that was in there anyway. I think there was a shop from 82 until about, 94 or something like that that probably had a different name before Mouse Gear was built there. So.
Well, none of that matters to me. I started going in 97 and Mouse Gears was there. Mouse Gear was there from the day I got there.
Okay.
So that's what matters.
The existence of Walt Disney World was in Doug's mind.
Yes. So, okay. Now, the bottom line is, out of all the shops, that was mostly, when we even did the draft, that was like everybody's, one of our favorite shops. I think it was our favorite shop.
But they're changing the theming anyway, so it's not going to be the same store. So, I mean, it's... I don't know. I always liked hearing the gear work and watching the stuff move around in the ceiling and stuff like that. But they changed all that, and they changed the World of Disney. I mean, I always liked the World of Disney with the big, oversized characters up top and all that stuff. So, I mean, what it is.
Well, they're redoing the Main Street Confectionery. Hopefully, they call it the Sugar Shop or something else. Get rid of that name too.
Spike your kids. So there you go.
Yeah, change the name of that too. Change it all, just like they're changing. Now we understand why Swan and Dolphin might also be using mirrors, because now it looks like mirrors is going to be taking over Magical Express.
Yeah, that's what I saw. I did see an article about that, and it's a slightly different name, but it sounds like basically the same service, right?
Same service, but I think they're going to charge you somehow.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see how they couldn't. I mean... It hasn't set a price or whatever here. Mears Transportation, the third-party operator of the existing Disney Magical Express, will offer its own service when Magical Express ends this year. Mears Connect will launch in, and I guess that's what it's going to be called, as of now. January 2022, and will serve Orlando International Airport and Disney Resort Area. Reservations can start being made on May 21st, 2021, right now. Next month. Although not pricing information is available yet. So they ain't going to tell you what it costs yet, but it's going to cost you some. It always has, but they just never showed it to you. It was in the price of your resort.
Yeah.
So I think Disney, I mean, if everything is, well, I think they will do, because they are that kind of company. I think they're going to cut some kind of price off the room, I mean, because they're not going to give you transportation no more. Don't you think, John?
I don't see that happening.
No, I they have to. I mean, it's only fair. Disney has previously announced its plans to end Magical Express airport transportation at the end of 2021. In a statement, Disney said vacationers have more options to choose from than ever for transportation, including rideshare services. They save time to offer more flexibility to go where they want. Well, under that logic, there's a million restaurants outside. Why do you serve food in the parks? Go outside and eat. In light of the shift, when Disney hotel booking opened the stays in 2022, we will no longer offer Disney Magical Express services from the airport. Transportation starting with arrivals January 1st, 2022. We will continue to operate the service for the new and existing reservations made at Disney hotels for arrivals throughout 2021. Additional complimentary transportation options like such as buses, monorail, Disney Skyliners will continue to be available at Walt Disney World Resort hotels, including to and from all four theme parks. Disney Magical Express did reopen from COVID-19 shutdown in mid-July, but has not been providing luggage delivery service for those arriving to and departing from the airport. Magical Express was launched in 2005 and quickly became popular option for guests staying at resort hotels. I would say offered saving guests hundreds of dollars, it said. It didn't save you any money, people, because it was included. They charged you for it. They didn't give it to you for free, trust me. It was just part of your package. Every year that room reservation went up, that was every even people not using Magical Express were paying for Magical Express as part of your hotel stay. We agree on that, right, John?
Oh, I imagine.
Yeah, it was in the price.
I don't understand Disney's point, though, on this, because, like we've said before, Magical Express effectively trapped you on Disney property without a rental car. And so now if you have to... Yeah, because it just doesn't make a whole lot of sense. The origination of Magical Express was to keep people trapped on Disney property. I mean, it came about because people were leaving to go over to Universal Studios and stuff like that. And so now if you're going to have to pay for Mirrors Connect, $40, $50, whatever it might be, some people are going to say, well, I'll just add another $40 or $50 to that, and I'll rent a car for however long my stay is. And once I rent a car, well, then I can go off property to Universal and go over to SeaWorld. I can take a day instead of going that fifth day to the Magic Kingdom and go to the beach. You know, I mean, there's as much as I love Disney, there's a lot of stuff to do in Central Florida. And so once you give people an option to go off property, some people are going to take it. So I don't understand why their mind has changed when it came to getting people on property. It's an interesting business decision. You know what I'm saying?
So. Well, those higher ups know more than we do. Kind of like when they sell one product at a park that it don't even exist in, which we we don't understand that either.
Yeah, that's true. Well, let's put the Haunted Mansion in Hollywood Studios.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I mean, I don't get it, but the thing is, so you're telling me now they're not doing this for me, like Lou said. Now they want more people driving on property, so they want crowds higher. So what's his legit?
No, it wasn't done for you in the first place.
Yeah.
It was done to trap you on property.
Yeah. So I can't wait to hear what Lou's reasoning for this is going to be. I got it. I mean, I do it. No, he said that a train's going to be there next year. So I'm still waiting 2022. There's a train pulling in there.
26 is from what I've heard. 26.
But I'm saying he said with it next year is what he was saying. He heard.
Well,
but
I believe there's some false information floating around out there. So.
Yes, a whole lot. A whole lot. They won't even have a train station built by next year. I don't care who builds it. It's not going up unless they buy a modular home and put it there.
I don't even know where they're putting the train station yet, so much less getting it built. So.
But the bottom line is this is the way Disney's going to kind of make out a little bit on it. They're probably still going to charge Mirrors a fee for delivering
Disney's
on property.
I see Mirrors making some.
Yeah,
what's that?
I could still see Disney charging Mirrors a fee to have the job to be out of drive on property.
Yeah. I mean, there's a contract, certainly.
Yes.
Because otherwise, some of these other, I don't know, that this whole charter bus system that they have out at Disney is kind of confusing anyway, because apparently Mirrors is the third-party contractor that they use for just about everything, but then Mirrors contracts with other buses. So we have, I don't know, five different friggin' brands of buses floating around taking people to Disney hotels right now, which is just confusing as heck. So
yeah, it makes no sense whatsoever, John. I mean, I don't understand why this is even what stopped them from doing that, because it was like the perfect situation. It's like I've been talking about for years. It just seems like everything with a Disney vacation, like 15 years ago was so smooth and easy to do. And within the last 10 years, 10 to 15 years, they said in the bit higher ups to be, it is way too simple to book a trip.
Yeah, let's complicate this up.
We need to make this as hard as possible for you to show up at a park. Like, we got to take away everything. We got to make it to where everything is individualized. It's like a big, huge buffet that you're charging for everything. Instead of going to a buffet and you get one price, every time you stick a spoon in, we charge you for a different meal. Am I wrong, John? Did they not make this the hardest way to book a vacation now?
Oh, they're going to make it a la carte.
So yes.
It's exactly what you hate when you go to a restaurant. So everything's a la carte. So.
It's like I'm surprised. I mean, I will not be shocked once Epcot's done if it don't become you got to pay for Future World and World Showcase. I have two separate tickets.
Not gonna happen.
Well, I mean, you don't say it's not going to happen. There's a lot
Doug,
of things.
I honestly promise you, there are never going to be two different parks at Epcot. Okay.
I could see. Well, you could tell me you'll never see a nighttime and a daytime pass coming. We
no,
really thought that
passes.
Was going to happen.
Nighttime annual passes that have been sold for years and years and years. So.
But I'm talking about two separate admissions, like we were talking about when the parks were as crowded as they used to be.
I don't know. Honestly, before any of that happens, Doug, I see charging it to park at Disney Springs. I see that happening before anything else. So.
Well, I see that happening before the year ends. I don't know how that hasn't happened yet.
And there's a certain undeniable logic to it because people manipulate the system really bad. If you're staying at Saratoga Springs, your buses are packed because everybody from Hotel Row and everybody that parks at Disney Springs walks over to Saratoga and takes your buses. And so, I mean, there's bus after bus after bus coming from Saratoga that's just full of people that aren't even staying at the resort. So they're gonna have to figure out a way to regulate walk-ins to Saratoga. So I don't know what to do, but I mean, they're gonna have to find a way.
Well,
there's just way too many people on them buses.
Well, it would be easy. It ain't like there's anything like, I mean, yeah, there's one restaurant over there, the Turf Club. It's pretty good, but it isn't like anybody's glamoring to head over there. Oh my God,
not a destination resort, that's for sure.
No.
It's not Animal Kingdom Lodge or anything. So
just put somebody on the bridge there to check IDs. If you're not staying or you don't know somebody staying there, then, you know, you're not going to Saratoga.
You know, it's funny because when I worked on the monorail when I was in high school, we actually asked for room keys when you got onto the resort monorail. And we were supposed to discourage people if they weren't staying at the Poly, the Contemporary, or the Grand Floridian from taking the resort monorail. And that was back in 87, 88. And that's got totally phased out. No, there's no checking for that anyway because it's on your theme park ticket that you're
entitled to that
admission. Yeah. You're entitled to Disney transportation throughout the resort. And so I guess that's what they have a problem doing that. They can't regulate because they sold the ticket to those folks coming over. And so, I mean, but it's not fair to the people at Saratoga. Because if you're at the last stop at Saratoga, you're having a hard time getting onto the resort, onto your bus, you know, that's just not fair at all.
Well, I know they're really cracking down. If you don't have a reservation, they're not letting you park at resort. So you got to make reservations. So the people walking over to Saratoga, I mean, especially now with COVID, there's a perfect excuse to keep people out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I noticed something at the Contemporary, and I wanted to mention it to you for sure, is that there's a certain area where they make you park for dining now. So if you have a reservation somewhere for breakfast or something, they have you park in a certain area, and I think they give you a certain time limit on your pass. So I don't know if you can, if those folks that park there and would leave their car there all day, if you're going to be able to get away with that. I still have yet to see a tow truck on Disney property towing a car that's not broken down. Obviously, but as for that getting removed because of something like that, I've yet to see one. So, but
yeah, well, if that's the case, I'm blank out of luck because I'm eating at the Wade the first day.
Yeah, yeah. I just want you to be aware of that. So just double check when you're pulling in there.
Yeah, well, is that might be right now because of all the construction going on there?
Yeah, and there's limited parking lot. You know, I mean. as good as an idea it is and stuff like that, and especially if you're eating breakfast there, obviously, but they try to reserve those parking lots with construction, especially and especially like the Polynesian, they're trying to reserve those parking lots for people that are actually staying at the hotels. So
yeah, well, that kind of stinks. I might have to Uber it. Solve all my problems.
Yeah, just check into it. Make sure that, because I know I see the signs that say resort dining parking. So,
no.
And I don't remember seeing those before, do you?
No, because I've parked wherever they made me.
Yeah, wherever the parking was. So.
Yeah, because, everybody knows how much I rave about the breakfast, so I'm not just going there to park to do what I do. I do eat there.
Yeah.
I mean, a lot of people say they're eating there, but don't. But now they started making you show a reservation ID.
Yep.
So, I don't know. That'll bum me out if that's the case. I'm hoping it's not. Mask-free now, John. You can take pictures at least.
Step two. Step two to returning to normalcy.
Yeah, it'll be nice to see that. So that started April 8th. You could start taking pictures, which was a good thing. Disney Genie digital assistant app was still planned for Walt Disney World. So that's a whole new story for a whole new day. Go check that out if you guys. It's a big, long story about... And I don't understand. It's like Disney Parks Chairman Josh DeMarco and virtual presentation today said Disney Genie still remains in the plans. He announced it back in 2019, which I don't know. This thing, Disney Genie, will make planning easier by providing your family with a custom itinerary to your interests right at your fingertips, from a Royal Princess theme day to a Magic Kingdom to a trip around the world of Epcot for foodies. And then it's saying you could change the day if you would like. I hope so. I mean,
you know what? It sounds like another a thing that Disney saw people were making money out of, and they went, "Hey, trip planning." What was the one that not Lou Mangiello, but
touring plans?
Testa.
Testa.
Yeah, touring plans does and stuff like that. And they're like, "Yeah, people's making money out of that. Let's jump onto that bandwagon. So we'll make our own." So.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to set up millions of options for you every day. And best of all, it's flexible. If you change your mind for any reason, Disney Genie will optimize your day. I hope so. I hope it ain't like you're
locked in.
Like what is it going to be? You get three wishes and you can't change them at all? Is that why it's called Disney Genie? I mean, holy moly. Recent harmonious test shows impressive capability of the lighting system. All I know is it's impressively obstructive to my view. I will say that.
It sure is impressive the way it's in your way, right?
Because so. They're not even, like, good-looking, the barges.
No, they have no, when they're not running or anything, there's no theme to them, there's no decoration on them, they're just pretty big, giant obstructions. So.
Yeah, it's weird. A recent test of Harmonia shows platform barges have demonstrated some of the capability of the lighting system. There's a video that shows you can see the France platform cycling through some movement of the lighting fixtures that line the upper edge of the video display. Each of the barges performed is packaged with lighting fixtures and looking at the range of motion and speed that you see in the video, they should deliver an incredible light show. So they're anticipating by how they're seeing the lights actually moving. It should be cool. But they haven't seen the lights in action.
Yeah. And it's interesting, Doug, these barges are in the middle of the lagoon, and they're big, giant, and they're just painted, as far as I know, solid black, and they really stick out like a sore thumb. And every time I pull into Epcot, I look at Spaceship Earth, and then I look over to the left and I see the building for the Guardians of the Galaxy attraction. And they have done such a fantastic job of the camouflage on that. Our skies, for the most part, get that light blue haziness, especially in the summertime, you know, down here when there's no clouds. And it's kind of, it's a very light blue. And the building matches almost perfectly. And so as you approach it, you really have to pick it out where it starts and where it begins and stuff like that. They did an excellent job of just matching the sky. So why can't they at least, it would still be in the way, but camouflage these with paint or something to blend them into the lake a little better?
No, it's perplexing to me, John, how they could. I mean, Disney has the greatest minds of animators and imaginations that you could ever believe of. And whoever imagined, I mean, no matter how good the show looks, these barges are ugly, dude. I mean, they
could. Yeah.
Yeah.
You would think they would have made them so that at least the ring would be collapsible, you know, where it could go down and come back up when the show's ready to begin.
Yeah, or make them to look like part of World Showcase. Maybe put a facade on them or something.
Yeah.
Anything. Yeah. They're just ugly as – they're flat crap. It's flat black crap out in the middle of the –
black turd.
Yeah, I mean, it's just ugly, dude. Yeah. I don't understand it. I mean, again, I know I'm crying, mouse gears, this, that, the other, but – I like you said earlier, joking around. If they take my balloons down, John, we might have to be on 24-hour watch for me. I mean, it's like the beauty of the park. I mean, it's like my memories, my happiest place is standing there and looking across World Showcase. I mean, that would be top. That's like the train. That's like my walk from Epcot to Hollywood Studios. You know what I'm saying, John? It's like there's certain things that kind of put you in your happy place. Am I wrong?
Oh yeah, walking into the International Gateway is definitely one of mine. That's changed though, because it's a lot busier than it ever was, especially if you get over there 10:30, 11 o'clock in the morning now. Everybody from Pop Century, Riviera is getting off right there, go to Epcot. So
it used to be peaceful, and
the
music was
peaceful.
Now you probably can't even hear the music anymore.
You can barely hear the music, and all the smokers are right outside there. So it's wonderful.
Yeah.
Yay.
Now all they need to do is, right as you're walking up that little beautiful hill there where the benches are that takes you into the UK, they need to put a big blob of something ugly in, right in the center of the walkway there, and just leave it there. Don't paint it or nothing. Just put like a big, big, huge black circle, right, or blue, purple, green, whatever you want to call it. Just put a blob right in the middle of that area there, John. What do you think?
Sure.
Make it ugly. Don't dress it up. But this is just garbage looking. And there's still no opening date beyond 2021. And I don't know. The return of fireworks is very much in consideration and remains very firmly in Walt Disney World plans. Oh, really? You think it's in their plans? They just put 13 barges out in the middle of the water. They're writing.
Yeah, I think maybe they're anticipating some kind of show coming. Yes, probably.
I mean, like, I don't even want to mention. I mean, like, why would you even write that? It's still in their plans. Really? There's 5 huge monster ugly barges and 8 small barges out in the middle of this lagoon. And they're not going to do it.
No, they're never bringing fireworks.
It's like, oh my gosh. 1, 2, 3. Let me count here, John, before I lose my mind. Disney Cruise Line U.S. departures through cancels departures through 2021. I don't even know. Like, just announce when they're open. Like, why are they even having reservations at this point, John?
Yeah, it's kind of ridiculous. I mean, cruise lines will probably be apparently the last thing that opens back up fully, because obviously you're in a confined environment. So, and it's interesting thinking of that, how they're still going full speed ahead with the Star Wars hotel, because that's the same type of thing where you're going to have, a couple hundred people basically put in a confined environment. So.
Yeah, I don't know. The Orange County mayor is saying in June the mask mandate might end for you guys, but Bob Chapek saying he expects the mask to be on the agenda till the end of the year.
Oh, that would be so nice to get rid of these.
Yeah, but... well, I think you got to thank Disneyland a lot for that, because I think you got a company-wide mandate, and that's why I think it's going to have. I don't think masks could go away. I think if it was just Walt Disney World, they would allow them to go away. But Disneyland, you might be wearing masks there till like 2035. even if it's, you know, gone and vaccines are out, you know.
Yeah, I knew the photo pass thing would be coming around fairly quickly, and you'd be able to take the mask off for pictures, because going to Cast Connection the last couple of weeks, there's been a lot of cameras in there from the photo pass. So I know that photo pass obviously has suffered significantly from not being able to take pictures. And I tell Lisa that, and she's like, no, I want some pictures. It shows what 2020 was about. I'm like, I do not want to take a picture with a mask on. This is ridiculous.
I mean, Captain Gorgeous wants mask-free pictures, dude.
That would be Captain Handsome.
Captain Handsome.
Johnny Orlando.
Yes. That was hysterical, John. I had fun with that. Brenda goes, what were you two laughing so hard? I said, Johnny Orlando and Captain Handsome's coming to town, Brenda. I mean.
Yeah, we're going to be main. We were main venting WrestleMania tonight, Doug. Didn't you hear?
Captain Handsome with the body slam. He tags John. He comes John Orlando off the top rope with a flying suplex, right, John?
There you go. See?
But oh, and speaking of, we got another review on iTunes, John.
Hey.
And it was very nice. Something about we're their favorite podcast. The check is in the mail, I do promise. I sent that right out, John. It said
good deal.
It says, Doug and John are great. The podcast is usually released on Sundays, but I always save it for my Monday morning walk and run. Helps me have fun exercising, and the time flies by. John has great WDW insider info, being a cast member, and Doug really does love Disney, which can be seen even through his rants. I even enjoy when they both go on sport tangents. Keep up the good work, y'all. So that was very nice. And it was from, I don't know the, it's from RDTXR. So I don't know who you are, but thank you so very much for your kind words. And John Orlando and Captain Handsome really appreciate it. That's what I'm waiting
to come
for.
Up. We need to come up with our patented moves now, Doug. You know, mine could be the Lake Eola Splash or something.
Nah, we need to call it something like that. We need to call it like the Rock and Roller Coaster Suplex or something. You know, the Pirates of the Caribbean Slash or something like that, John.
Oh, speaking of Pirates of the Caribbean, Doug, it's time for the weekly dumb bus driver joke of the week. All right, how much does a pirate pay for corn?
Let me see, matey. A dollar?
That'd be a buccaneer.
A buccaneer. The kids probably love that one, don't they?
Yeah, that's a good one.
I'll have to tell Tomater that one. He'll love it. He'll go tell my godson and the grandkids all that, his grandkids.
Oh, speaking of sons and stuff, I kind of forgot to mention this last week, but yesterday was my son's birthday, so he'll never hear it, but a happy birthday to him regardless.
Happy birthday, so. JJ.
Yes.
So, yes. Is he so excited about next month?
Yeah, actually he is. He was looking forward to going to the parks, but finally, and now I don't think we can go, so. Well, but, yeah, we're all looking forward to a nice couple of fun, relaxing days at Old Key West is basically where we're at now. So.
Well, we'll see. Hopefully we get yous in the park somehow.
I don't know. It's the middle of the month now, and the rest of April is still blacked out altogether. You can't even get it. And usually you can always get into Epcot, but right now you can't even get to Epcot. So.
Well, again, like I said to you off the air, and I'll say it again on the air, I think if a cast member books a hotel reservation, they should get access to the parks. I think it's a joke. I really do. I think you own DVC. You give your heart and soul to Disney. You're staying on property for the week with your hard-earned money. And I think if a cast member, they should make the mandate, if you book a room, then you should be able to get your park passes activated. That's my opinion.
You should at least have the option of booking a couple of weeks out. You should be able to make a couple of reservations. And I can even understand if I still couldn't get into Hollywood Studios. Yeah, okay, fine. That's fine. But for, you know, come on, at least give me Epcot, you know?
Yeah. No, so hopefully something will happen. But it's going back to, I told you I listened to all those Disney Wars. And I just finished the book. And it was really good. It was very interesting. It showed how Eisner didn't want Iger to take over. Then he did, like all the backstabbing and stuff like that going on. Take a guess how much Michael Eisner made off Disney through when I read the book. Not past, but just when I read the book. Or audio listened to the book.
I can't even imagine. Hundreds of millions of dollars.
Just in his bonuses he made, because he got all these stock options is what he put into his contract.
Smart.
Over $700 million
he made. What do you even do with that much money?
And the thing was, Roy and them got in battles at the end. So now how you – like, I know everybody says Roy and Walt was a businessman and blah, blah, blah. But if you really listen to this book, Roy will go off, and so will the Disney children, about how they still believed in taking care of the cast members and stuff like that. And they were talking about Iger and Eisner getting $40 million bonuses and laying off cast members and not paying them what they deserved to be. And Roy went on a big – at a board meeting, he went on a big tangent because they said he barely talked, Junior. And he went off saying, if we don't take care of our frontline cast members in all phases of this company is what made us. And he goes, it's a shame that our cast members can't afford to live and you guys are taking bonuses the way you are. And this is him talking to the shareholders, which it put a tear to my eye, John. It was really nice to hear.
That is not a indicative of just Disney, though. I mean, a lot of giant corporations, they treat their frontline employees like less than stellar, and meanwhile the executives are making just ridiculous amounts of money.
You're 1,000% right. If we were doing a Coca-Cola, Pepsi, Apple Computer podcast right now, we'd be trashing Steve Jobs' legacy of how he didn't pay Apple employees probably enough.
Yep, and Universal, I mean, everybody.
Brian Robertson.
It's corporate greed, man. It's corporate greed. And I hate to jump on the thing and stuff, but that 1%, man, what do you do with $700 million?
Well, that's just stock options. That's not counting the money he made before.
I know.
With all his other companies.
What do you even do with that? And why do you need that? I mean, I don't know. Whatever.
And then you got Bob. And this is why I get aggravated. Then you got Bob Iger in a day of Disney, right? He's sitting there his pompous rear end. This is why I love the company and all the amazing people I work for. And it's showing the girl that makes the candy apples on Disney. Like he relates to her. You understand what I'm saying?
That's a different world, brother.
Like, she just got laid off for a year and is barely getting by, and you probably didn't give her nothing as you're still taking – he still got a corporate bonus last year. That's a problem, John. And again, we do a Disney podcast. That's why – and this is what we love. If I did a Philadelphia Eagles podcast, I'd be screaming for 5 hours straight right now about stuff I don't agree with.
Right now, I would not do a sports podcast with you.
No.
Not interested.
Yeah. You get what I'm saying, John? So that's my point. Yeah. We do a Disney podcast. I do Disney research. That's why I'm blowing smoke right now about Disney. But if you listen to the book, the Disney family, hey, Roy's not crying poor. When Roy passed, he was worth over $1 billion. But everything he did, like, if you listen to that book, and the guy who wrote the book had no – it wasn't like he had any fish in any of the fires. He was just basically covering the company. He didn't favor anybody. When anybody did good or bad, it wasn't like it was a – the reason I liked the book, it wasn't like it was a hatchet job at anybody. It was just stating the facts is what the book was about. The person read all the court orders, read everything. It wasn't like you didn't read the book ever and think it was like a vendetta against anybody. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Yeah, it was like somebody had a horse in the race. But all he talked about was it went on and on and on about the corporate greed. And it was very aggravating. It was nice to hear, though, that the Disney family, if it wasn't for Roy and them, as I was getting to, animation, Pixar, all that would have never made it to where it became, because Roy is the reason who backed Pixar and Lasseter and Jobs and all that stuff, if you follow me. And that's actually what saved Disney. And actually, Comcast came really, really close to owning Disney. They tried. Before they bought Universal Studios.
Yeah, I wouldn't doubt it.
Yeah, they tried really hard. And Eisner, that's one thing I will say. Brian Roberts called him up, and before he even heard his offer, he said, no. No, we're not doing it. So, but Diane Disney, there was art things from her in the book. It was very, very interesting. And all things said and done, they whenever they talked about the legacy, when they talked about Roy talked about his father and Walt, there was a lot mentioned about how much they loved the cast members, and the angry old men loved them, and the thing they did for their employees, the way he made the whole company a family back then.
Yeah.
So, and they did care about, because Roy, every time you heard Roy or heard things about him, he constantly talked about treating the guests to keep them coming back for more. So, I did take it that the corporate greed, 2005 and on, the whole time it was there, but after September 11th, after it started to come back again, is where they hit total greed mode.
Yeah, I can see that.
Yeah. Head salesman first to be removed from the Jungle Cruise WeWork when the rework gets underway. You hear about this, John?
He was scary.
Work is now. I loved him, John.
I love Trader Sam too.
I can't believe they're taking him away from me, John.
I can't believe they're getting rid of him, but yet he's got two bars named after him.
Yes.
So I don't know. Sometimes I think they do stuff like that just to pique interest in him, in a certain character. You know, because like there was no interest, very little interest in the redhead before she was taken out of Pirates of the Caribbean. Now all of a sudden there's T-shirts being sold. You know, how many T-shirts were sold from Maelstrom before Maelstrom was taken away? Hardly any, but now there's Maelstrom T-shirts, you know, so.
It's called hypocrisy, John.
it's called tweaking somebody's, you
insider
know,
trading
attention. Something like that.
Yeah, just like the guys on my job, because I had to go, because I had a great time recording the show on Monday. It was nice doing the paddlefish. Wasn't it nice to have Handsome, Captain Handsome, being positive during the show?
Yeah, it was kind of unique.
Well, we used to always do those shows, John, but life got in the way of keeping us busy from doing a couple a week. Am I wrong?
Well, this whole 7 days of work thing, yeah, definitely hampers my available time.
Yeah, so, but I got called back to the crazy house, which I call the hospital I was doing. It was it isn't open yet, so I'm calling nobody in the hospital that. But the boss is there, dude. They all have, I want to admit them for amnesia, because they'll tell you one thing, and 2 days later, they'll talk to you like they never said that in their life. You know, it's crazy with the amnesia that they have over there. But I got called back in for 3 days to help pull that job back, to get it done. And now we might have time again to do something else, John, positive, like that show, which I'm looking forward to.
That would be fun. Yeah, well, we're all eating there next month, so looking forward to that for sure.
Absolutely. How long you have now, John?
About 5 minutes.
Okay, so let me buzz through this. Work is officially underway to change the Jungle Cruise at the Magic Kingdom, with head salesman Trader Sam being first to go. Do you know why they're getting rid of Trader Sam, John?
Other than he's scary, I don't really have a clue.
Yeah. Imagineer Zach Ridley posted over the weekend, guests may start to notice some monkey business along the river. And right on cue, the first sign of that today. Obviously, sales have been shrinking for Trader Sam's over the past decade, so his removal is hardly a surprise. The change and additions will be incorporated in phases over the next couple months, and it may result it will not result in any closures of the ride. Disney announced in 2021 the update to Jungle Cruise. New additions added Humor Wildlife, Skipper Hart, and also reflect the value and diversity of the world around us. I just don't understand why, like you said, John, they're keeping Trader Sam's the restaurant, but they're going to get rid of Trader Sam on this ride. It doesn't make any sense.
Other than purely some conspiracy to pique interest in him.
Yeah, I don't get it, John. WDW News today. Did you hear Phoebe Waller-Bridge's joins the cast for the fifth Indiana Jones film, John? You excited about that?
Yeah, I saw that, but I'm not even sure who she is. So
I do, but
I'm terrible with actresses and actors. I really couldn't care, so I don't pay any attention to them. So
yeah, well,
Indiana Jones is one of my favorite, except maybe the last one. But I love the series. So
well, I'm excited that for you, John, because I know how much you love Indiana Jones, and hopefully they do this right. I mean, I'm thinking I'm going to like these better than the original ones too, John.
Oh, see, there he goes again.
I tell you what, I am excited, though, because I talked about that I might have to cancel my park hopper, and now I won't have to, John.
Oh, no, they're extending hours.
Yep. Yeah, Epcot's going to be open to 10 every night, so I am excited about that. What I am not excited about, I'm watching a video right now, and Spaceship Earth line is, like, ridiculously long. Everybody goes there and makes an amateur mistake of going on that first.
Oh, yeah. You would think people know by this time that you walk past that and come back to it later in the day. But, yeah, it's all – I mean, it's definitely, as Dennis would say, the weenie of the park. So, I mean, it attracts everybody's attention as soon as they walk in.
But they have the social distancing, which makes it looks a lot longer than what it does, because now how they used to have it where every one of those cattle chutes would be, like, real close to each other. They have it very extended out. But when you walk up and see the line – all the way out the front and wrapping around and going up the side, you're thinking, man, this is packed today. But again, guys, they're only at 40% capacity, right, John?
Yep, we're at 40% capacity. And any attraction you ride, also realize that there may be a stop every now and again as the cast members spray down some of the compartments and stuff like that. I mean, I sprayed my bus down several times during the day, so sometimes we have to make the guests wait a minute or two while we do that. But it's for your safety. So.
You do have, oh, dude, did you hear Club Cool is coming back? And
yeah,
they're going to call it.
That.
But why are they going to call it Club Cool? Why don't they change the name of that?
Club Coolness.
Well, it's a whole new store at the front of the park. They got it. They can't keep it the same. I don't know why they're going to do that. But the good news is you'll still be able to screw over one of your family members and tell them how
Beverly.
Great. This is Beverly is so good. You got to try it. I don't think there's a Disney loyalist like us or Disney fan like we are that hasn't screwed over a family member or friend with Beverly. Can you agree with that?
Oh, yeah, and then there's other people that go that their trip isn't really started until they have Beverly, and they know it tastes terrible, like my young Republican man. he has to have his shot of Beverly to know he's at Epcot. So.
Well, I still remember giving that to my dad, and his back was out, and it almost made him stand up in the wheelchair and beat me up for, why did you give me that crap, he asked me. I said, because that's your indoctrinated into the – I think the Beverly is what makes us join the cult, John.
You're probably right. Instead of drinking the Kool-Aid, Doug, I think it's drinking the Beverly.
Absolutely. I think that's what's happened to all of us.
You know, you're probably right, because I've even had JJ and Lisa try that after they knew it didn't taste good, and they still drank it.
So. Yeah. I think that's like the Disney vaccine that makes you into the part of the cult of Disney. So
there you go.
But you got to go in now, John?
Yep, I'm heading that way.
So, well, that was a quick show today, John.
Well, yeah.
So anyhow, thanks everybody. Thanks for the reviews, guys. We really appreciate you going over to iTunes. We didn't get to talk any sports this week, John. I'm sad about that. And we didn't pick on Tommy or Judith at all. So
it was a quick show. Well, take some time next week.
Anywho, we want to thank everybody. And just a little thanks to Jim Tucker for constantly tweeting out his, you know, our stuff. You know what I'm saying, John? We appreciate
it. Yeah, him and Robbie both. They both work tirelessly to retweet our stuff. We really do appreciate it.
So I really, really appreciate that. And where are you driving today, John? You have no clue?
I'm at Epcot, but that does not mean anything. Usually when I clock in at this time at Epcot, I go over to studios for 3 to 4 hours, and then I finish with some runs from Animal Kingdom, and then I come back here for maybe one run, and then retire the bus here. So.
Oh, I also wanted to also, the reason I brought up Jim Tucker, he lost his beautiful puppy of 17 years, so they passed away. So we wanted to tell you, Jim, our thoughts and prayers are with you, with your puppy. As they say, it went over to Doggy Rainbow. Is that what it is, John?
The rainbow connect, or yeah, the rainbow bridge.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, I texted him a message back that said all dogs go to heaven. So
yes.
We all know that. So,
but we're sorry for your loss, Jim, and thank you for everything you do and your wonderful friend of the show, John. You head in. Everybody, be kind to one another. We will talk to you real soon. Say goodbye, John.
Bye, bye, folks. Have a great week.
Bye. That's it, guys. We're gonna hop off our stools and pay our tabs and get on out of here. If you guys could you please head over to iTunes if you enjoy the show and leave us a review? We'd really appreciate it. Even if you don't, we'd really appreciate it. Also, you can head over to Twitter and find John at Beer Solo. You can find me at Grumpy6767. You can find us both at WDW Main Street on Twitter and Facebook. Also, head over to Podbeam and check out WDW Main Street, and you can find all our sponsors there. Everybody be kind to one another. We will talk to you real soon. Bye, guys.